Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The World of College Acapella Tournaments returns to Pop Network Wednesday night. CNN began Season 2 that evening, and executive producer Calissa Miller joins me next. Also ahead, our classic trivia question of the week, and not one, but two, get it, two shows to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy to have you with us on this July 25th of 2016 for the program All About Television. And we know a lot of you listening are in heatwave territory, including here in New York, where at the top of the hour it is 93 degrees, day 4 of our heatwave right here. If you're in heatwave territory, no matter where you are across the nation, please take it easy wherever you are. Get yourself with water as much as you can. Take your time on stuff. Check on your loved ones. And stay tuned to Blog Talk Radio. Our show and others will keep you company. Wonderful guests coming your way in the next half hour and change. And we invite you, as always, to be in the conversation. It's very simple. You have a question or comment for our guests? Ring it in and use this number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room as well that you can communicate with. It's SimonApple04. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and get 1889 to just enter the room. To use the phone on the room, either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook timelines. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. One news note before we get to our guests. TLC has renewed one of its longest-running series for another season this fall. We're talking about Little People, Big World, whose current season ends next Tuesday night. And also, the show will mark its 10th year on the air on August 2nd with an hour-long special. Once again, TLC's Little People, Big World coming back for a new season this fall. Latest season ends next Tuesday. It has been a huge year for musical superstar John Legend in the world of television. The TV series Underground on WGN America, which he's an executive producer on, and he also does the original music soundtrack, has gotten critical acclaim, and even though it did not win any Emmy nominations, very surprisingly, even if the music soundtrack he did not win an Emmy, he has gotten great reviews and is coming back for a second season. But the other big thing he has done this year with his production company for television is Sing It Out. Sing It On, excuse me. It's a show about the world of college a cappella, where tournaments are held all over the place, and the people who do these tournaments are very, very spirited. It's much more than glee. It is a way of life for them. On Wednesday night, Pop Network brings the second season of Sing It On to life. Joining us live from Santa Monica, California, executive producer Calissa Miller. Hi, Calissa. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Simon. Lovely to be here.
And we're delighted to have you. Congratulations on year number two. And speaking of season two, how did you approach this season as opposed to the first? I mean, the story is about these different colleges who do these a cappella tournaments. Did you decide, all right, we're going to do four new or five new schools doing a cappella tournaments, or stay with the same schools you had the first season? How did you approach season two?
Well, first off, there's so many colleges that compete. There's 300 colleges that compete, and then it gets down to 10. So in terms of the casting process and in terms of the documenting the whole process, we wanted to use different schools because we wanted to be able to show different diversity. And that was definitely a big push from John and his partners at Get Lifted. They definitely wanted to be able to diversify and, you know, get those really talented kids with the big personalities, but also show, you know, all walks of life. So I'm happy to say that they were very involved in the casting process this season, and we hit it on a high note. We got A+ on everything we went out after. The groups that we got this season are really fantastic.
What did you look for? Is there something different about these groups from the groups that were featured in the first season that makes them stand out?
Well, I mean, we wanted to go with, you know, yes, I mean, definitely. We wanted to capture an all-girls group that, you know, we did have two girls groups that were minorly featured in season one, but this year We have a Sharp Attitude from Amherst, Massachusetts, and they really bring it on all levels in terms of their talent and their emotion, and that was something that we really wanted to capture, because what's so fantastic about this show is, unlike a lot of reality shows that, you know, are scripted, this isn't. This is, you know, a real competition with kids that, you know, this is so important to them that, you know, we get to be flies on the wall. We get to stand back and watch as all the drama goes by. And as we know, you know, women especially are very emotive. So, you know, we really went after looking for a girls group that could show solidarity among the girls, but also could be really honest about, you know, any kind of dissension among the group. So we definitely got that. And we also specifically went after UPenn because John graduated from UPenn, and when he was involved at ICCA, that's where he was coming from. So we wanted to be able to show, you know, kind of his point of view and how, you know, those kids work. And those kids, I mean, being an Ivy League school, you can imagine they are really, really dedicated to it. I mean, their rehearsals, there's no goofing around. It's serious business. So, you know, we really went after different groups to be able to kind of contrast what's happening in different parts of the, you know, United States, and how the different regions bring a different flavor, as well as, like I mentioned, doing a gender-only group featuring the girls, which the other reason why it's important to feature the girls is because, in general, women are considered to be the underdogs in these competitions because women's voices, in general, can't go as low as males. So when you have a mixed group, you have more easily diverse sound, and so women always have to work harder, especially for the bass notes and such. And so that was also part of the journey that we wanted to be able to show, is these women, you know, really having to, I would say, put in more work, more effort than a lot of the mixed groups or, you know, a guys group.
For some people in season one, when they tuned in your series, they might have wanted to, or they might have expected Glee or something like Glee, because it was a series about a singing group. It had so much impact on the popular culture. But a cappella is a whole different world than the Glee world, and these students really get into it. Why do they? And I understand that Calista has just dropped off the line. Calista, if you give us a call back, I don't know why you just dropped off, but if you can give us a call back, that'd be great. Use our phone number, 646-652-2906. And we'll get you back on the line ASAP. In the meantime, this is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program All About Television. Happy to have you with us. Thanks for making us time for us on a day where a lot of the country is dealing with a heat wave. And Calista is back with us. All right, Calista, let's get you back on the line. We do have you. Are you there?
Sorry about that, Simon. Yes, I caught that they were expecting Glee, and then I lost you.
Yeah. So take back that question. You know, as I mentioned, the world of a cappella is a far different, really, in many ways, a far different world than the world that we saw in Glee.
Definitely. There is a lot of competition. And also what's remarkable to me is a lot of these college kids, I mean, it's like a part-time job in terms of the amount of hours that they're donating. So they're juggling schoolwork, classes, homework, sometimes jobs, you know, they're putting themselves through school, and a lot of them are engineering majors or something different, and they're using this music as a release, as a stress release, and it's fascinating, and it's extremely competitive.
How much time do you spend, you and your camera crews spend with each group?
It varies in terms of depending on how long they go get through the competition. But in general, the competition is January through April. So we start off our casting process in the summer, and we shoot with them during the fall auditions, because the fall auditions for them are very pivotal, because what a lot of people don't realize is they, because of graduation, they lose a lot of their groups. So some groups that start off at 17 at graduation are down to 10. So they're trying to almost double their group. So fall auditions are a really pivotal time. So we spend fall auditions with them. And then there's not too much competition. There's the ICCAs don't start until January. So that's when we really get back going. And then at that point, depending on how many different groups, we spend January to April volleying between the different groups. And ideally, we're there a week or two before each competition, so we're able to see them ramping up. And the closer you get to the competition, you can imagine the the more often that the tears and the swear words come out.
The program is Sing It On, and it begins Season 2 this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on Top Network. This network is co-owned by CBS and Lionsgate. Calista Miller is one of the executive producers, and she is with us live from Santa Monica, California, where you should know that while the heat is on there, it's less heat there than is where we are on the East Coast. But we're delighted to have Calista aboard, and you as well. You're on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for Calista, ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by the end of 1889 in the room. On Friday, we wrap up our ninth year on the air with another 90-minute edition, and we got a dynamite one for you. Joining us off the bat will be, rescheduled from last week, the creator executive producer of the acclaimed mixed martial art family drama on Audience Network Kingdom, Byron Velasco. Then find out about the newest, hottest sports network on the planet. It's BN Sports, with the senior director of sports for me there, Rafael Torres. And finally, do you know how the variety of scripted TV is impacting summer? Well, Verity Research today, Robert Myers, come up with a study about what he calls peak TV, and you might be surprised at how the results are impacting all of us. We will talk to Robert Miner exclusively Friday as we wrap up our ninth year as the program All About Television. That's this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tamavi Televive. And later on, we will tell you about our plans for starting year 10 next week. Calista, how involved is John in the making of the show?
Well, as I mentioned, I mean, casting was really paramount. He really came in and, you know, wanted to make sure this season that not only do we have talent and big personalities, but we had more diversity. So casting was crucial. And as you know, for any good reality show, if you don't have a good cast, you don't have a good season. And I have to say, we really did bring it with the team that we have in terms of diversity and talent and drama. It really is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. When Tom had a special event here in New York, we saw clips of Sing It On. Ty, who is also a co-executive producer with John and you on this series, had a lot to say about how a cappella really impacted his career, the kind of songwriting he did, and so forth. For you, Abby, how do you think it impacted him and his career?
Yeah, I think that really shaped him. You know, he was participating in ICCA, which is, you know, the basis of, you know, the competition that we show, you know, what these kids go through. And it is very, it's very technical. It's very professional. And also the camaraderie that you get with your group mates, you know, you can tell, you know, John's a fantastic person. He's really easy to work with. And you can tell that, you know, having all those years of having that practice with his UPenn group, you know, really, as far as I'm concerned, shows through, because he is such a fantastic, individual to work with, as well as, you know, very talented. So that's how I would say that the ICCAs and his a cappella experience in college really helped shape him, which for us is really a great thing, working with all of these young kids, because they idolize him. You know, the fact that our show, you know, he's an executive producer and he's quite involved, especially in the casting process, that only helps me as the showrunner, you know, boots on the ground. And as we're, you know, talking to these kids and, you know, they're asking, you know, why should we be involved? What are the perks? And, you know, one of the greatest perks is you get John Legend looking at cuts, listening to you sing, you know, getting to know who you are. And, you know, since they idolize him, you know, that makes my job a lot easier. So I appreciate John's participation in the show, and feel, especially since it's organic, it's not a situation where, you know, at some point it became popular for celebrities to sign on to shows so that you can get traction and you can book couches on talk shows. But with John, this is really a passion project for him, and it shows.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feedback from the audience did you get about the first season? What were people surprised by? What were people delighted by?
Well, I would say that the biggest kind of complaint that we got was that they wanted to see more music. And that's another great thing that we're able to bring for season 2, is we elongated the musical numbers, so you can see you know, more of the actual final product, as well as we upped the production value. We have jibs, we've got you know, other specialty cameras that really make the musical performances you know, more visually enticing. So I would say for me, that was my big passion, is that, you know, wanted to be able to showcase more of the musical numbers, which I think that, you know, we definitely did. In terms of season one, you know, Isaac was the darling of season one, the director from Northeastern University. And so it was challenging for us in the casting process to be able to, you know, find personalities, and, you know, he set the bar really high, but, you know, like I mentioned, I feel like, you know, we went out there and, you know, we achieved that on all levels. And this season, you know, we really have a bigger diversity in terms of personalities and ethnicity and, you know, the gender specific, and having an all girls group. And, I'm really happy with the end product. I'm hoping that the audience will too.
when people judge these competitions, Calissa, what are the factors? Is some of it is based on the singing quality? Is some of it based on the songs they pick? Is some on the staging, where you have to not just sing, but you may have to do choreography, learn movement to enhance the song?
Right. Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, the ICCA is a singing competition, but the visual component of it, which includes choreography and wardrobe and just being able to be, you know, moving in sync and, you know, looking like a group that belongs together, you know, that is, I would say, roughly about a third of the score. So it definitely, choreography, you know, it has become each year the groups are bringing bigger and, you know, just going bigger and just, you know, making their moves more intricate or, you know, just as we like to say in the series, bigger wow moments for the judges. So, you know, that's always a pressure that the kids have on themselves, that it's not only just vocal health, but, you know, also the entertainment value of the numbers.
Is there a common point with each of these groups that the drama or the tension or the impact of what they're doing hits or leaps, if you will? Is it trying to get the number together? Is it, oh, 2 weeks before the competition happens? Is it like wondering, is somebody going to drop out a late note? Is there some common point with these groups where things in terms of what they're dealing with take a big leap?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it does vary, but definitely the day of the competition is really where it becomes real for everybody. And you know, if somebody is suffering from a cold or, you know, anything like that, that's when the nerves start setting in for not only that person, but the group as a whole. And the way that the day runs, they actually have to, most of them have to travel usually like 2 or 3 hours. So it's a long day. It's getting up, traveling, then they need to be at the venue about 6 hours, 7 hours before the show actually starts. And we always start off with a number pool, and that's where they pull out of the hat their performance order. And that's extremely stressful for them because the way that it works is generally if you pull number one, you're not going to move on, just because being the first person out on stage, the judges, you know, they're not going to mark you very high and the audience hasn't settled in yet. And so there's and every team has a different kind of sweet spot that they want, but the stakes are really high for them to be able to pull that number. And of course, the person that is designated the number picker has a lot of pressure on them. That entire day, you know, already, you know, just brings a lot, which is really fantastic. Because like I mentioned, for me and my camera team, it's the challenge of being able to document such a large group, because there's always multiple things, you know, conflicts or stress factors happening. And so, you know, we're trying to cover it all as much as possible and be able to easily, you know, tell that story to the audience. And with the kind of main characters usually being the music directors and the presidents. But I would say that is the common, you know, that day is really crazy. But the build up to the competition always has breakouts. There's always somebody that's not pulling their weight, and somebody, you know, has come to their wit's end and they have to say something. And, you know, there's, like I said, they practice for so many hours that their vocal health is a real issue for them. So that always comes into play as well. So I would say competition day is always my favorite because it is jam packed with usually some tears and cheers and tension.
Do any of these groups dread going first? Because if they go first, chances are in their thinking, maybe not true, but in their thinking, they're going to be judged lower compared to other groups.
Yes, the pulling the first, the number one and performing one is known in the a cappella ICCA world as kind of a death sentence. There are tales of people being able to rise up and move forward, but in season one, Nor'easters, who were the favored group, they pulled one at their semifinal and they lost. You know, they didn't move on. So, I mean, it is. Whether that was because it got inside of their heads and they were so nervous about going one, or it is a reality that, you know, the audio board isn't quite set, the audience isn't settled in, the judges don't mark you as high because they're not sure what's coming later and they don't want to give you too high of marks. So, number one is not a good thing in the ICCA a cappella world for sure.
Clifton Miller is one of the executive producers of Sing It On, starting his second season on Pop Network this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. She joins us live from Santa Monica, California this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum with you from the other coast, specifically in Nueva York, where it's 93 degrees top of the hour, day four of our heat wave here. If you have a question or comment for Calissa, don't be shy, raise the voice, and dial in at 646-652-2906. Or you have a chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name guest 1889 still in the room. On Monday, we begin the 10th year of this program, All About Television, and we'll do it in grand style with not one, not two, but three episodes coming your way, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all at the same hour. And coming up on our first episode of the week on Monday, we will introduce you to a new event coming to New York in mid-December that is trying to do for television what Comic-Con does for all pop culture this past weekend in San Diego. The project is called Connectiva TV, and we'll talk to Mark Dineen, the president of Crossmark Media, that is doing it. We have a special announcement for you about how we will be involved in that event. And then by popular demand, our major guest from last Friday's show, the award-winning variety show producer-director Steve Binder, will rejoin us. He is the co-author of a new book called Fade Up About the World of Variety Show Television. He was so great, and there's a lot of stuff that we could not get into. We barely scratched the surface. So we'll be with us for a full hour, and he'll be joined by the co-writer of that book, the professor from California doing that book, Mary Beth Liebman. We'll talk to Steve about his work on Elvis's 1968 comeback special, the incredible Diana Ross concert from Central Park in the mid-80s, one of the most incredible events on television you will ever see, Pee Wee's Playhouse, which was on for several seasons, and a whole lot more. Steve Binder and Mary Beth Liebman from Fade Up and More join us as we kick off year 10 of Tomorrow We Televise next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, we'll also be on Wednesday and Friday of next week at the very same hour. The timing of the show, Calissa, could not be any better because before we went on the air, we learned that Pop Network has appointed a brand new person in the role of head of original programming and development. He's someone you know, but it was Justin Rosenblatt. He came from the CW, but you knew him from someplace else.
Yeah, MTV Networks. Justin's fantastic, so I'm excited to see him joining the Pop family. I'll miss Paul. Paul's very talented, but not always nice to mix things up and have some new blood, and Justin is really a fantastic guy.
And he has experience in both scripted and unscripted programming, which is the fact that Pop Network is doing both now really serves him very, very well, and you and all the series people very, very well. Clint, what are you up to aside from Sing It On in terms of other shows?
Well, I just got back from a month vacation in Europe, so that's what I've been doing. and in terms of other formats that I'm working on, I'm known a lot for my dating. I'm known as the Queen of Dating, which probably my fiance doesn't love that title, but I am working on some dating formats for syndication and also for logo.
Logo seems to be doing very well. We just renewed RuPaul's Drag Race, one of the most popular shows for the new season. They have a new show with Kelly Ripa as executive producer. And I believe it's, her husband, Marcus Fresco, also involved, too. And it looks like they are starting to, after a couple years where they should have been a little unsettled, you haven't heard much from them, it looks like they're starting to really rise on their own.
Yeah, I love Logo. I think that it's like pop. It's exciting to work with these channels that are moving forward. And, you know, I think that as a showrunner, you're able to have more creativity because you're not pigeonholed into what the network is, you know, expects. So I like working with both Pop and Logo, and you know, I look forward to being able to put on more shows in the future.
But the show coming up right now is Sing It On, and premieres its second season Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Pop Network, which is co-owned by CBS and Lionsgate. Check your local listings for where that network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about both the show and the network, here's where you go online, poptv.com. That's poptv.com. And if you didn't see Sing It On the first season, try to do it the second season. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you've never seen or experienced the world of acapella competitions, you are in for a wonderful treat. And these students are incredibly talented. Win, lose, or draw, they're really all winners. So check out Sing It On if you can. Clifton Miller, executive producer, thank you again for joining us from California. Congratulations on season two. All the best to you and John and Ty and everybody involved. And hopefully many more seasons to come, not just for this show, but the others you're doing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Simon. Have a great day.
You're welcome, Clifton. Absolutely. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye-bye.
Clifton Miller, executive producer, Sing It On, joining us live from Santa Monica, California. Well, our contributing question of the week, you can win the Twin Peaks FAQ book. But first, some thoughts from the fine people at Audible.com. One of TV Land's popular shows is the Jim Gaffigan Show. You may have seen Jim recently in a series of car commercials, and they're popping up the last couple of weeks. He also has a wonderful audiobook out, which you can get through the trial subscription to Audible.com. It's called Dad Is Fat. And Jim is one very funny, funny person, so is his family. And I think you'll enjoy reading about him and hearing about it. And the way you can do it, get a subscription to Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles of every genre, make, and model to choose from. The great thing is you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now through Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook. It can be Dad Is Fat by Jim Gaffigan. It could be Charlie Rose interviews from PBS and Bloomberg Television. Could be new books by Tina Fey and Mindy Kaling. A whole lot of great stuff for you. And the wonderful thing is, it's one free audiobook. 30 days to try it out, as well as the rest of the service, and you get great customer service because Audible is an Amazon company. So, nothing to lose, everything to gain, and it can start right now when you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com, your entryway to the wonderful world of spoken audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. And now it's time for this week's classic trivia question. You might know how it works. We give you the question, and if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win Twin Peaks FAQ. It's the wonderful new book by Applause dealing with the classic 1990s ABC series created by David Lynch and Mark Frost, which is coming back next year in a brand new series for Showtime that Frost and Lynch will write, and Lynch will direct all the episodes. Of course, one of the classic television series of the last 20, 30 years, ER, ran 15 years, over 300 episodes on the NBC television network. And our question deals with one of the key people who came out of that show, George Clooney. Here's the question. Name George Clooney's character on ER. Name George Clooney's character on ER. We need the exact name. So if you're first with that answer, you win Twin Peaks FAQ. How do you get involved? Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you find email a little bit tough to do, well, try Twitter. Use the hashtag TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. The Twitter box is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtracking. Learn how from Marty Monica and the gang by going to Hopscotch.com. That's Hopscotch.com. If you just joined us, you just missed the question, no problem. We'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Be in there and win. And all the best. When we come back, our regular feature, Show to Know, we give you two for the listening of one. We'll tell you which two and why you should try them out after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And all week long, various VTR programs will bring you coverage of the Democrat National Convention underway very shortly from Philadelphia. So check out the coverage and related shows that's happening all week long right here exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, the best of VTR is available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Marty Televised for this Monday afternoon, 26th of July 2016, as we wrap up our ninth year on the air this very week. Happy you're aboard. Once again, if you're in the midst of the heat wave, as we are here in New York, please take it as easy as possible. Make sure you get lots of water and fluids. Check on your loved ones. If you have to leave to go somewhere, please take your time, extra time if you need to. And, of course, we'll keep the company here at Blog Talk Radio. We will get through this together, I promise you. So stay in touch, stay in communication. Check out all of our shows, including this one. Now it's time for a regular feature that we do called Show to Know, where we highlight programs that we think are worth your watching. And you might not know about them because they're not well marketed or promoted or publicized, or they fall under the radar screen of critics and journalists who follow the media. Believe it or not, it's only been a little more than a week since the Emmy Awards for this year were announced, and already we have not one, but two possible contenders for next year's Emmy Award for Best Limited Series. One, which you've highlighted in the program, is The A Word, the autism drama on Sundance TV. The other is a new HBO series called The Night Of. This is a series that James Gandolfini, coming off The Sopranos, was going to star and be an executive producer on before his untimely death. It's based on a 2008 British miniseries called Criminal Justice, and it's put together by the brilliant writer-director, whose credits include Schindler's List, and one of my favorite underrated films, Searching for Bobby Fischer, the brilliant and Oscar-winning Stephen Dalian. Also involved Richard Price, wonderful novelist, wonderful scriptwriter. He's done other HBO series and miniseries in the past, and they teamed up for this one. The Night Of is a very fascinating premise. It takes place in New York, and it deals with a Pakistani college student, played wonderfully by Riz Ahmed, who's accused of a murder on the Upper East Side in New York. His lawyer is played by John Turturro, and you know when John Turturro is playing something, it is as offbeat as it gets, and he is wonderful. I've seen some episodes. It premiered earlier this month. And believe me, this is going to be a contender for next year's Emmy Awards. The cast is wonderful. The writing direction is crisp and superb, all done here in New York. And it is a terrific show that definitely is worth your while. It's The Night Of. It's on Sunday nights for the next few weeks at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on HBO. For more details, HBO.com. That's HBO.com. If you haven't heard of the series, give it a try. It's worth your while, and I'm sure that somewhere up in heaven, James Gandolfini is smiling ear to ear about what was done with his project. Our second category, our second contender in our Show to Know today is a show that deliberately, and I do mean deliberately, was not publicized by Netflix. It's their latest original, and it's called Stranger Things, and people are discovering it like crazy. Excuse me. It stars Winona Ryder in her first major television series, and it's done by the brother duo of Matt and Russ Ducker. And they do a great, great job. They wrote and directed most of the episodes. Also involved is Sean Levy, the director of such feature films as Night in the Museum series and Real Steel. He's an executive producer on the series, and he also directed two of the episodes. And Stranger Things is quite strange. It takes place in Indiana, circa the 1980s. It deals with a missing person, a young boy, 12 years old, Winona Ryder plays the mother of the boy. She's trying to find him along with local authorities. In the middle of the process, along comes a girl with very strange telekinetic powers. And that's just a little slice of the story, because as the episodes go on, the story gets more and more and more and more fascinating and complicated and very, very strange. That's why it's called Stranger Things. The reviews have been sensational, and again, Netflix, in a very unusual shift in what they usually do, they didn't publicize this. No outdoor advertising, bus posters, billboards, subway signs, very little of any TV ads, very little of any radio ads. This is truly a show that people are getting to know on their own. And it just goes to show you that more often than not, the American public, when they get word somehow, some way, of a good new show, they really get to back it. I have a hunch that very, very soon Netflix will order a second season of Stranger Things. You can find, of course, Stranger Things 24/7 on Netflix. Netflix available on most smart TV sets and also smart TV devices like Roku, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, etc., etc. And for more details about Stranger Things and all of Netflix's original programming, you can go to Netflix.com. That's Netflix.com. Now, what do you think about your favorite TV programming? Is there a show that you like that doesn't get enough attention from everywhere else across the country, around the world? Well, we'd like to hear from you. If you hear a show like that or see a show like that, tell us about it. And if we use your suggestion on Tomorrow Be Televised, you will get the credit. How do you let us know? Email simonapple04@yahoo.com. So we get involved in our classic trivia question of the week every week. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're from so that we use suggestion, we give you the credit. And again, you can also find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter at my own hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We really appreciate what you have to say. That's why we always encourage you to be in communication with us. And the show to know is definitely that way. Before we wrap things up for the day, we want to give you a quick up and an update where we catch you up on some of the guests and topics we had on this program. A few months ago, we highlighted another series that the network involved did not publicize initially. The show was Winona Earp. It's sort of the female Wyatt Earp character dealing with things supernatural. It stars Melanie Scafano. It was created and produced by Emily Andrus, based on the popular comic book. Emily was involved for several years in the wonderful sci-fi series Lost Girl. And the show premiered a few months back. We had both Melanie and Emily on the program. We're still getting replays for it. And originally, sci-fi has put it on without any advanced promotion. But people got to see the show, and they started to apply, and then Sci-Fi got the promotion machines going. They were at Comic-Con in San Diego over the weekend, and it was there that Emily and Nellie announced, and we're delighted to let you know, that the show has been renewed by Sci-Fi for a second season next year. First season was 13 episodes, second one will be 10, but it's back, and once again, the fans get the credit for making it happen. So once again, my owner, Melanie Scafano, produced by Emily Andrus, will be back on Sci-Fi next year with 10 new episodes. If you want to catch up on the interview that we did on Tomorrow Be Televised with Emily and Melanie, just go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out iTunes for the podcast version as well as the iTunes podcast app on Apple TV 2.0. Coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will wrap up our ninth year on the air with another 90th edition. We kick it off with Byron Belasco, the creator and executive producer of the popular mixed martial arts family drama on Audience Network, Kingdom. Then Rafael Torres, the senior director of sports programming at the hottest sports network around, BN Sports. We've got some very interesting clients coming up. They're going to be on soccer, which is where they started, and we'll hear all about that from Rafael. And finally, how is this great universe, expanding universe of scripted television impacting your summer? Well, a company named Miner & Co. has put together an interesting study on it, and we'll hear from Robert Meyer, the president of the company, about it. I think we'll be really interested in what people are doing this summer or not doing because of the big boom of scripted television. That's all coming up on Friday right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And remember, coming next week, we kick off year 10 with 3 episodes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Coming up on Monday's program, we'll introduce you to Connectiva TV, a new event coming to New York in mid-December that wants to do do for television what Comic-Con does for overall pop culture. Mark Denis from Crossmark Media, he's the president of that firm putting this event together, will join us as our lead guest. And then back with us from last week, in a full-hour interview, the award-winning variety show producer-director Steve Binder, whose credits include the incredible Elvis comeback special of 1968, the popular series Hullabaloo on NBC, which ran for 2 years in that decade, Pee Wee's Playhouse the last couple of seasons, and the incredible Diana Ross Central Park concert here in New York, downpouring all over the place. Nobody left that place. And let me tell you, if you've ever seen, if you saw it live, it was one of the most incredible events on television you have ever seen. And it was repeated again live the very next day. Steve will tell us all about that, plus his co-authoring of the new book, Fade Up, about the history and the future of variety show television. And we'll be joined, by the way, as well on Monday, by the co-author of Fade Up, Mary F. Liedman. That's all coming up Monday, part of our 10th anniversary startup of Tubarbie Televised. That's next Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on what we did, or you want to catch up on episodes you've missed over the last few weeks and months, go to our homepage anytime. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, you can also check out the podcast version. That's available 24/7, not only on iTunes, but also on the iTunes podcast app available from Apple TV. Remember, you can get Apple TV 2.0 from your Apple store near you or online. And, by the way, in addition to getting our show on podcast, you can get other Blog Talk Radio shows on both places and on podcast as well, iTunes and the iTunes podcast app. We'd like to hear what you thought about Sing It On and our guest today. And what are your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going as we get into our 10th year on the air? Email me. Love to hear your thoughts. Maybe we'll put them on the air, too. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're from. That's how you get involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. That's how you also get involved in our regular Show to Know feature. One more time, if you give us a show to know and we use it on the air, we will give you, of course, the full credit. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. We always appreciate what you have to say, and we do respond within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters. And once again, wherever you are in this heat wave of a nation this Monday afternoon, please take it easy. If you have to go out, take extra time. Make sure you drink lots of water and fluids. Check in on your loved ones. And stay tuned to Blog Talk Radio. We have a lot to come today, including coverage of the Democratic National Convention on some of these programs. So stick around. A lot of good stuff to come. And we promise you, we will get through this heat wave together. There's coolness on the other side. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy Domestico and Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. The creator and chief executive of this very enterprise is Mr. Alan Levy. Tubarbie Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tubarbie Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Hang in there with the heat. And remember, we really love hearing from you, so make sure that you're great and have a wonderful rest of your week. We're back Friday as we wrap up year number 9 of this program all about television. That's this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.